Hello, and welcome to Stories from the VO Booth, where we share stories and experiences and voiceovers from VO talent, producers, teachers, casting directors, and more. I'm your host, Tina Zaremba, voiceover artist and voiceover coach. Now, my goal with this podcast is to provide insights and learnings that can help you navigate the new terrain we voiceover artists are living in. In this first episode, I'm going to share a little bit about my story, why I'm here, and why your feedback is important for the future of this podcast. I moved to New York from Michigan, and I moved here with $500 in my wallet and a scholarship to study theater at the legendary Lee Strasberg Theater Institute. My first year, I cried every single day. I was constantly lost because me and maps don't go together, and I was in these extremely long lines with other struggling actors at open calls. Also, I was a waitress. I did do some off, emphasis on off, Broadway shows, but mainly waiting tables, feeling defeated. So after a couple of years of banging my head against the table, being a struggling actress, I found myself in the corporate world and in therapy. And ironically enough, it was my therapist who led me to voiceovers. She would say to me, you know, you always seemed to be so happy when you were in acting. Maybe you should get back into acting. I was like, well, you didn't know me when I was in acting. Well, when you talk about it, you just seem so, you know, your eyes just sparkle. And I would say to her, no, I need to grow up and be in a real job. I remember she said to me, well, I know this young woman who I think you'd like. She's a kids entertainer. You should meet her. And I remember saying, I don't even know if I like kids. And she's like, just meet her. So I went ahead and I ended up meeting this woman. And I was intrigued to find out that the bulk of this woman's income came from voiceovers, not from being a children's entertainer for kids' birthday parties. Because I always thought that voiceovers were, I don't know, James Earl Jones or Kathleen Turner. That's what I associated with voiceovers, not the girl next door Midwesterner types. Oh, and this friend of mine, well, my newfound friend, her boyfriend, he produced demos for voiceover artists, for budding voiceover artists. And apparently, she told me everyone who makes a demo with him, they're signed immediately with an agent. Naive, desperate, I forked over a chunk of change to have my demo produced by him, created, and then sent it out to agents and heard nothing. Actually, September 11th happened, so of course I'm not going to hear anything from anybody. It was just crickets. But then one day, out of the blue, I get a call from this agent. I'll never forget. His name is David Coakley at ICM. And he thought I was a voiceover artist from Chicago. And he also thought I was related to Karen Ziemba because my last name's Zaremba. Just a little side note there. Kind of funny. That meeting gave me some confidence. And I called other agencies and told them that I had an agent that was interested in me or an agency interested in me. And would they like to meet because I'm going to be making a decision. And I eventually ended up signing with ICM, but I met with all the other agents in New York. And then from there, I thought it was going to be easy breezy, but it wasn't. I mean, I seriously thought, well, how hard can voiceovers be? I have a background in acting, but as my girlfriend Maggie Phillips likes to say, voiceovers is acting on steroids. And she's right. For a whole year, I did not book a single gig, and I cried again. Almost every single day, because I was so depressed that I wasn't booking anything. And I was still at my corporate job. I was straddling kind of two personalities here, being this corporate being, climbing the ladder or trying to climb the ladder, and then trying to make something happen in voiceovers as well. Things shifted, not instantly, but they slowly started to change as I started to let go of the sound of my voice, how I thought I should sound, and started being in the moment, connecting to the copy, connecting to who I was talking to, understanding what my intention is for even opening my mouth. My first big job was for Airwick. It was a national campaign, and that probably was a blessing and a curse because that was my first job, and so I thought all the jobs would be like that from then on. and they weren't. There was, you know, radio jobs. There were in-house videos that needed voicing, cable jobs that needed voicing, training videos, industrials. My biggest lesson that I've learned thus far is that my path is not a linear one. My life is not 1 to 10 or ABC. It's A, pi squared, circle, triangle. So in accepting, embracing this path that I'm on, I've had a much easier time in learning to embrace my voice, my truth, letting go of the sound and connecting to what's underneath the sound, me. I have to say, over the years, as I've coached other voiceover artists and people in various different fields, from yoga instructors to entrepreneurs to taxi cab drivers that are in voiceovers, the one thread that connects us all is that we all have a joy to tell stories, to connect to words, to bring them to life. So as I'm embarking on this podcast journey, I want to invite you to be a part of what unfolds next. If you're in voiceovers, I want to hear your story. What made you fall in love with this crazy creative industry of bringing words to life? What challenges do you face? What excites you? What have been some of your most memorable moments? What would you like help with as you venture forward? I can't wait to hear from you. So send an email to tina@tinazaremba.com. Stay tuned next week for episode 2, where I talk with Jim Kennelly at Lotus Studios here in New York City about trends in voiceovers and the top tips that can make or break a successful voiceover artist. Thanks for listening, and see you next time. Here's to owning our voices.